Are you turning there? I want you to be, mind you to be praying for the services. It's so good to see all of you that are visiting to come in to be with us. And thank the Lord for your presence. Good to have Brother John Olive, his mom and dad with us tonight, right over here. Praise the Lord for them being able to be back with us. And others come in to visit from different places. We want you to be praying for the services, especially for this service tonight. Pray that God will deal with us. We're speaking on a very important subject. And something that would maybe affect the lives of many people here in the church. Not, if I guess, everybody's life one or another. But we want to read with verse number 12, Psalm 19 and verse number 12 and 13. Psalm chapter 19, verse 12 and verse number 13. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Now, the word presumptuous means overconfident. That's not what I'm going to preach on tonight, but that's something we ought to pray about that verse sometime. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous, overconfident sin, things that I'm just too much confident in. And, of course, that's another message, but let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now look at verse 12 with me again, where David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of secret sin. Secret sin. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Father in heaven tonight, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity that we have once again to be able to bow here in your presence, call you our Father. Knowing, dear Lord, there was a time in our life when we weren't able to do this. We were alienated, strangers away from thee. But, Lord, we're glad that we, which were sometime far, are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. That's a lamp on our feet and a light under our path. We thank you, dear Father, for this portion of it that we looked at tonight. And I pray, O God, Lord, that somehow your purpose may be accomplished in this message. Father, you know the need here. God, you know the need of each individual heart. And I pray, dear Lord, it'd be just that, that would speak to people's hearts. If there's one here tonight that's not saved, save them tonight, I pray. And help them to love you and want to trust you and do your will. And then I pray for that Christian here tonight who may be harboring secret sin in their life. Lord, if they'll confess it and forsake it and repent of it tonight, we'll praise you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while, by the help of the Lord, on the subject of secret sin. David said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things that nobody else didn't know about. Things that my brother couldn't just look at me and see or tell. Things that I've got in my life that nobody knows, but maybe just me and God. I want to talk to you tonight on secret sin. I want to try to bring you a few things and a few thoughts about what I believe the Bible teaches about secret sin. Many people have got in deep trouble tonight and through the years because of secret sin. First of all, I want to say, what is secret sin? Secret sin tonight is acts or thoughts or feelings that are not right in the sight of the Lord. And I want to say to you this tonight that it's beware, folks, of leading a double life. You can get to the place to where you just look so right at church and everybody just thinks you're living right, and from outward appearance probably they may come to that conclusion. But maybe sometimes deep inside of you, you'll be harboring deliberate acts or thoughts or feelings that you know are wrong, and you're harboring them, and that is called secret sin. Now let me say in the outset of this message tonight, I'd like to nail down something right at the beginning. It is not a sin. I want to say this to you tonight, and I want everybody to be sure and listen. I don't want the devil, we have hardly enough time keeping ourselves right without the devil bringing you in under any false condemnation. It is not a sin to be tempted. You hear what I said? It is not a sin to be tempted. The Bible said in the book of James, every man is tempted. Jesus Christ himself was tempted, yet without sin. And so tonight, when I talk about little sins inside of your heart, I'm not saying temptation. Now, you got to get that in your mind straight, or you're going to feel guilty when you shouldn't be feeling guilty, and you're going to be under a conviction when the Lord don't want you under conviction, and you're going to be under condemnation when God don't want you to be under condemnation. It is no sin tonight for you to be tempted. Sometimes you'll be maybe driving down the road, and just the awfulest thought will come in your mind. I mean something terrible. I mean just right out of the blue. And Brother Simpson will say, boy, wouldn't you like to do that? Or wouldn't you like to do this? And you know, sometimes God's children, when that happens, you know what they do? They get real down on themselves. And they say, oh boy, if I was a Christian, I'd never think stuff like that. And if I was what I claim to be, and then the next thing you know, they come to the preacher and say, preacher, I just don't feel worthy to teach a class no more because I'm just so ungodly and I'm so sorry. I want you to know tonight, friend, that's not what I'm talking about. The devil can put bad thoughts in anybody's mind. The devil does put bad thoughts in everybody's mind. It's not a sin to be tempted. Now, if you grab a hold of that thought and you yield to that thought and you start dwelling on that thought and you start feasting off that thought and you start beginning to desire yourself to go towards that temptation, then of course it does become sin. But it's not a sin to be tempted. But I want to say to you tonight what secret sin is. It is to deliberately, on purpose, knowingly, on purpose, in a positive manner and in an attitude of deliberateness to keep action. That means things that you do, attitudes, ways that you think, feelings that you have. When you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's not right and it's sinful, and yet you're keeping it and you've got it hid. Secret sin is what I'm trying to preach to you about tonight. I'm not talking about being tempted. Get that straight in your mind. I'm talking about when you know good and well something's wrong, and yet you deliberately keep doing it and hide it from the rest of the world. That's secret sin. What I mean is this. I could have me a little pet sin, and I could keep that thing all through the week. I could deliberately commit that sin on Wednesday, knowing in my heart I was going to commit that sin on Thursday. Knowing in my heart I was going to commit that sin on Friday. Knowing in my heart I was going to commit that same sin on Saturday. And nobody didn't know it. My wife didn't know it. My brothers didn't know it. My sisters didn't know it. My mom and my dad didn't know it. I was the only one that knew about it. But yet I slipped around, and I sneaked around, and I would sneak around and commit that sin, and I'd keep it all hid and all covered, and I knew it wasn't right, and I knew that it was wrong, and I knew I was going to keep right on doing it. That is secret sin. And yet I'd come into church on Sunday morning, all cleaned up and all dressed up, and with my Bible in my hand, just as if I was living just as holy and pure and right as anybody else. Now, you may have a sin that bothers you. You may have something that just absolutely drives you up a wall. And you know that it's wrong. And the devil tempts you, and you fall, and you commit a sin. And if you're really saved, you'll be miserable. And if you find your place and you'll repent, you'll say, oh, God, how could I do such a thing? God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that action. I'm sorry for that word. I'm sorry for doing this or doing that. And brother, by the Lord's help, I'll turn from it and I'll not do it again. That is not what I'm talking about tonight. I want you to get that in your mind. I'm talking about when you know it's wrong and you ain't willing to do nothing about it and you're harboring feelings in your heart or things, knowing you're going to keep right on doing it. That's what secret sin is. I remember reading about Augustine when he was a young man. He said in his youth, he prayed against lust in his heart. He said, and you had lust in his heart. And he prayed against that lust and uncleanness, but secretly desired that God wouldn't hear him. And a lot of young men pray that way. They know they have a problem with lust. And brother, they know they have a problem with things. Now, I want to say something. Pull over right here just a second. You heard about this young girl that got down yonder at Jack Hudson's church center in Charlotte. And this young girl was actually demon-possessed. Now, this ain't no baloney cartoon like The Exorcist. This is the real thing. And the girl was actually possessed of a demon or some demons. And Jack Hudson talks to this girl on the telephone. And Jack Hudson ain't no wild-eyed fanatic. He ain't no somebody gone off a deep end on demons and visions. He's a man of God that's straight and preaches the word. And Dr. Hudson talked to this girl on the phone. And he said she'd been messing around with witches and all kinds of things like that ever since she was just a little girl. Started out with Ouija boards, you know, messing around, a little thing, one thing led to another. And she began to talk to this girl, and she said, "I feel like I ought to come and talk to you, preacher." And he said, all of a sudden, a voice would come out of that telephone that was indescribable. Her voice would just change completely. Another voice would say, "No, she's not coming to talk to you." And he said this demon would take over her and talk to this girl's voice. And, brother, she began to talk to him. And she told him, "Come, we'll make a long story short. Yeah, they've got it on videotape, in conversation with her. Got it on cassette tape, the whole conversation, so that anybody wants to can see it or listen to it." And, brother, they talked to this girl, and she finally got saved and got straightened out. And she's telling about the different demons and their names that was in her. And these demons come out. Jack said at least four different demon powers went out of that girl. Just a young, I think she's 20 years old. And, brother, they come out of her, and she said, "Of all the demons that I've ever had anything to do with, the demon of lust is the most powerful and the most influential one on the lives of young people today. The demon of lust." I want you to know something this morning or tonight, folks. This thing of lust will absolutely drive you insane. It's something you're going to have to control. It's not something that you can harbor in your heart day after day and hide it. I'll tell you what you can do tonight. You can keep lust in your heart, and you can hide it, and it be a secret. But I'll tell you what secret sin's like. Let me tell you what secret sin is like. It's like a cancer. You can't see it from the outside. The outside of the body may look healthy. You can't see it, but it's gradually eating away at the inside. And there's a lot of people that's being eat out because they've got secret sin in their heart. I want you to know, brother, it's like a boil. When a man's got secret sin in his life, it's like a big boil of sore on the inside of his leg or on his back. See? Now, if Brother Gene had a big old sore on the side of his leg, I'd never know it to look at him. There's his Bible. There's his tie. As far as I know, he's right. If that can be used as a sign. But I mean, outwardly appearing, you may look all right. Deep on the inside, there may be a boil. There may be a cancer. There may be a secret sin. And if you don't get something done about that secret sin, it will destroy you. Now, I've got a lot to say about it here in just a few minutes. It's important you pray. I want to say, second of all, the signs of secret sin. So I believe tonight that if a man's got secret sin or a woman's got secret sin, sooner or later, it'll show up on them. There's some signs of a person having secret sin in their heart. I believe what I'm telling you tonight is the truth. It's just like you and a friend walking side by side. That friend may look just as healthy as anybody in this world, but if he's got a big old boil on the side of his leg, or maybe a big old sore on the bottom of his foot, or maybe a cancer eating away at his back, first thing you know, he's going to be limping a little bit. Or next thing you know, he's going to be holding his back. Or something's going to happen to cause that person to not walk just exactly right. And first thing you know, you're signed that something's wrong. I believe tonight that when a Christian gets secret sin in their heart, that it will begin to show up. If you are deliberately doing something that you know is wrong, and you're keeping feelings in your heart that you know ain't right, whether it's lust or whether it's some kind of something you stole or something that you've done or are doing or planning on doing, it will begin to show up on you. And, brother, you begin to notice that they have something wrong with their walk. And you don't really mean to. You just can't help but notice that they're just not a walking right. And sometimes you might say, well, what's the matter with you, brother? I noticed that you're acting kind of funny. And it's a sign. It will show up on you. I want you to know what will happen. Then you discover that he or she has a terrible sore on the inside of their leg or a terrible sore on their back. And you know that it was secret. It was hidden. But yet, it finally showed up. The signs come out on them. I believe tonight, if a man's got secret sin or a woman's got secret sin, it'll keep you from the Word of God. I don't believe you'll read the Bible much if you're deliberately keeping sin in your heart. You've heard it said over and over and over, that book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that book. And if you are deliberately doing something that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt is wrong, you will quit reading the Bible. You'll quit reading the Bible or you'll quit your sin, one of the two. But if you used to read the Bible like crazy, and now you just can't get to it, you just can't seem to get right with it, you just can't seem to make yourself read it, it could be because you're harboring something in your life that you know isn't right, and you need to get rid of it. Not only that, your desire to pray will be gone. Secret sin will cause you to lose your desire to pray. I tell you, brother, somebody will come in and they'll say, I want you to pray with me. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. Pray for this problem or that problem. Something in you will say, well, all right. But really, you don't want to. You'll get down and you'll just mumble off a few words. But your real desire to pray will be gone. Not only that, your desire to witness will be gone. You won't have no desire to witness if you keep secret sin in your heart. I tell you what, brother, well, if a person witnesses everybody they come in contact with, and then all of a sudden they just quit witnessing, as a sign. That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign that there could be something wrong in their heart and in their life. I remember reading about old Brother Achan back in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. And you remember how the Lord had blessed the children of Israel. And they crossed over the Jordan River. And they took the first city they come to by the name of Jericho. They marched around the city 13 times. And they blew the trumpets and everybody hollered and shouted. And the walls fell down flat. And brother, the Lord said, don't spy anybody. You kill everything in Jericho and you make a job on this place and it's clean and all the way. And they said, all right. So they got Jericho and they moved on to the next little city to take over it. The name of this little city was Ai. And Ai was just a little bitty town compared to Jericho. And they took Jericho without ever shooting a bow and arrow. Took Jericho without ever firing a shot. But God told them, He said, when you go into Jericho, you utterly destroy everything in that city. And He said, oh, anything that you find, you may not have it to keep for yourself. But the Bible said there was a certain man named Achan. And when Achan got in there to Jericho, he saw something that he wanted. It was some silver and some gold and a brand new coat. And brother, he looked at this silver and this gold and this brand new coat, and the Bible says that he coveted them. And he took them and he hid them underneath his tent and buried them. Well, the story went on that they went up to fight Ai, and the men of Ai whipped the children of Israel, and they couldn't find out what was wrong. And Joshua got down on his face and cried out, said, oh Lord, what in the world's wrong? And the Lord said, get up off your face, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. He said, there's sin there. That's why you couldn't fight your battle. That's why you couldn't stand before your enemy, because there's sin in the camp. And he told him, he said, Achan. They told him who the man was. And so Joshua called all the people together. And Joshua sorted out this family. And then he sorted out this tribe. And then down to this little family. And he pointed out Mr. Achan. And he said, there's the man that committed the sin. But I want to say to you tonight, I believe that after the battle of Jericho, that they had some shouting services in Israel. Before they went to take over Ai, I'd say they had some shouting time. Can you imagine all of them sitting around the camp? And about that time, somebody stood up and they'd say, bless the Lord, He helped us win Jericho. Somebody else would stand up over here and they'd say, hallelujah, I'd just like to stand and thank the Lord that we got the victory over Jericho. Somebody else stand up over here and they'd say, I just want to thank the Lord that we got the victory over Jericho. Everybody was smiling. Everybody was happy. Everybody was joining on the singing. Then you looked over here and there sat old Brother Achan. He's sitting there kind of fidgety. Sitting there with a kind of fake, uneasy smile on his face. And somebody said, what's wrong, Brother Achan? Is something bothering you? And he said, no thing. He was nervous. You know why? He had stole something and hid it under his tent. Nobody didn't know about it, but there were signs showing up on him. I want you to know, my dear friend, secret sin, there's some signs of secret sin. Hey, hey, brother, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just doing just fine. Real nervous. Fidgety. Unsure. Sit around like this. There's some signs of a person having secret sin. Now, you may have other problems. I don't know, but that just could be a sign. I want you to know, Brother Aiken, he was guilt-ridden. There's something wrong with that boy. And I want you to know, Joshua picked him out, and you know how the story went. Same story goes for the man named David, old King David. To make a long story short, preach on this some other time, but just to recount a little bit of the story. King David was laying in there on his bed one evening. That's where he got in trouble, probably. He should have been out trying to fight the battle, but he's in there laying in the bed. And you know what he done? Oh, he went out on the porch, and he's stretching around there one evening, and he looked across the street over there, and on top of the roof, there's a beautiful woman bathing herself, named Bathsheba. Brother, he saw her. The Bible said she was very beautiful. Brother David got lust in his heart. Now I want to say here to the men here tonight, you better be awful careful. You hear me? Are you hearing me? You better watch that stuff coming up in your heart. In the day we're living in, these old loose gals running everywhere you look. Some men think, boy, they're really tough because they can get a girlfriend. Big deal, man. Anybody can get one these days. It ain't no big deal for a person to get a boyfriend. I guarantee you any of these girls here sitting here in this church tonight to go out and have 50 boyfriends before 12 o'clock tonight. That ain't nothing to brag about. Anybody can do it. Have you ever wondered how two ugly people can love each other just as much as two good-looking people? That's right, they can. They think each other just as pretty and handsome as two that really are pretty and handsome. It ain't no, don't tell me you're an old big shot, Charles Brother. You're 6'3" and dark and curly and all that stuff. Don't think of just because you're 34, 24, whatever you're supposed to be, that you're something better than any other woman on earth. Brother, he saw and he lost it out there, and he said, I want that woman. You know what he done? He had her. Did it. Nobody didn't know it. Come to find out, she got pregnant. Brother, he found out about it, and he started thinking. He said, boy, they're going to think something funny. Her husband gone off to the war and her pregnant. So he wrote a letter, and he said, send Uriah the Hittite home. That was her husband. And he thought if Uriah the Hittite come home for a few days, you know, that everybody would think, well, it's his child. And you know what happened? Old Uriah was so dedicated to the army, he slept outside the door, wouldn't even go in and sleep with his wife. Don't you know that made David feel more guilty than he already was? Brother, you know what the next thing he did? He sent a letter and he said, put Uriah right on the front line of the battle so he may die. And brother, he had Uriah killed. He did it. Nobody in the kingdom didn't realize what David had done. He had secret sin. Somebody come in a few days later, said, I wonder what's wrong with the king. Well, you see, when I come in here, he was a playing his harp. He was a singing praises to the Lord. So now I'm going to sing it up and not David had a sin. He committed a sin. Nobody didn't know about it. It was a secret sin. Brother Daniel has already been done. I want to say something to you folks tonight. You better listen. The next few minutes of what I preach may save somebody from a long road of sorrow and heartache. If you feel things coming in your heart, y'all listen! If you feel things coming in your heart that you know ain't right, maybe you start liking somebody that you sit and mess around with. Maybe they're married. Maybe there's this, and maybe it's just somebody you ain't got no business messing with. Don't you let the devil say, oh, I just can't take it. Don't you let the devil take over you like that. You cut it off. Amen. cut it off right then. Cut it off! Cut it off! It may be somebody you work with. It may be somebody on the job that you're around day by day. And little by little, something begins to build. And you know it ain't right. And you're starting to have the wrong kind of feeling towards somebody that ain't right. Get it out! Cut it off! Get it out of your heart! God's sake, get it out of your heart! How many homes do you think's been destroyed? And somebody kept secret things in their heart and let it grow, let it grow. I tell you tonight, folks, this business of all these plants and these factories, this third shift outfit at Baxter and places like this ain't nothing but a hotbed for sin. Nothing but a breeding ground for adultery. You have a fuss with your wife, your husband, say, oh, I'm just sick of being around you. You go to work, and there's that little pretty painted up thing making goo-goo eyes at you all night long. And you start thinking about that. And the devil will put sin in your heart if you ain't careful. Now, if I could preach it any harder, I would. We've got a church full of young people. We've got a church full of vigorous, healthy, in their prime young folks. And it's something you're going to have to guard your life against. Brother David had a sin in his heart. He didn't realize the sorrow he was going to have. Somebody said, David, how come you don't play your harp no more? He said, I just don't feel like it right now. David, you ain't been going down out of the temple worshiping like you did. What happened? David had some signs, no doubt, of his sin. But I want to say thirdly tonight, the result. Secret sin. The results of secret sin, it'll bring some terrible results. Your conscience will bother you. Can you imagine Joseph's brothers, after they had sold Joseph and put him in the pit? They sold him and killed a beast and put the blood on Joseph's coat, took it back to his daddy and said, wild beast ate your son Joseph. And old daddy hung his head behind his thigh. Tears went down their old daddy's face. Can you imagine how Joseph was? In your heart, and you've got any Bible teaching in you whatsoever, it'll be rough on you. Your conscience is going to get you. Results of secret sin, you'll be miserable. Not only that, but if you're harboring secret sin in your heart tonight, your prayers are going to go unanswered. David said in Psalm 66:18, he's a man that ought to know. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Now, it don't say you have to be perfect to pray, but it said if you deliberately have sin in your heart, on purpose, not willing to confess it, God won't hear your prayers. Not only that, brother, it'll destroy you when the testing time comes. There are some people in churches in McDowell County right now that's leading that double life. They're living in sin, hiding it secretly, and yet claiming to be a Christian. Someday the storm's going to hit their life, and when it does, they're going to fail the test.
Amen.
You can mark it down in your book, they'll never stand the test. I remember hearing about a man that built a railroad bridge. And he built this big old bridge for the train to pass over. Had to be so many hundreds and hundreds of tons of steel. And he made the mold for the big steel brace that went under the bridge. After he made the mold, he poured the hot metal out in there to make it out of solid steel. And then they poured it in there and the mold was made. Somehow or another, there was a fault in the mold and it allowed some air bubbles to get inside of that steel brace, and it caused a few little air bubbles to get inside of it, and it looked just kind of like a honeycomb looking in there, just a little hollow space. And the man said, oh, that ain't going to hurt nothing. I ain't going to redo this whole thing. So he put the smooth it over, and from the outside it looked just like a solid piece of steel. And he shipped that thing to the place where it would be put up, and they put that big bridge across that big valley and canyon where that train would pass over. About the time the first big freight train come across it,
for all this thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of weight. The bridge right there at that spot where it's weak on the inside cracked and it fell to the ground. And a lot of damage was done. He tried to cover it up, but it did not prosper. He had some terrible results. I would say to you tonight, that's just the way it can be if you harbor secret sin in your heart. One of these days, a heavy load's going to be placed on you. One of these days, you're going to face testing time. One of these days, you're going to face a hard battle. And it may be a hard time for you to go through. And if things ain't right, if the bridge ain't solid, if you got weak spots in, that's where you'll break under the load. I want to say to you tonight, life ain't no big game, folks. Life ain't no time just to whoop-de-doo, have it up a big time. Brother, life is serious. Life is sorrow. Life is heartache. Life is broken heart and broken home and broken dreams and shattered heart. Life is sometimes getting down on your face and bawling like a baby and shedding tears. There's times like that in life. If you ain't found it out, you will. If you don't believe there's a time when you're going to fall on your face and bow and bawl like a baby, you just hang around. There's coming that time for you. Brother, I'm here to tell you, if you ain't strong, when that time comes, you'll break. That's the results of secret sin. You know what happened to David? Brother Nathan came to him, and he said, "You're the man." And he found out David's sin. David's child died because of his secret sin. Now, I'm not saying God may kill your kids. I'm just telling you about a man in the Bible. His kid died because of his sin. And I tell you what, if you're leading a double life and you're deliberately keeping sin in your heart when you know it ain't right, is God going to have to take that kid of yours? He said, "Are you trying to scare me?" Well, I'm just trying to tell you the fact. I ain't gonna pat you on the back and say, "Everything's all right." It'd take a mean devil to do that. Is God gonna have to take that little baby? God gonna have to take that thing that's precious to your heart? Just because you've got me snowed, just because you've got everybody else snowed, don't think you've got God fooled. I want you to know, brother, there's a result. You think about it, the judgment. There's a lot of Christians going to lose a lot of rewards. You know what Luke 8:17 says? Nothing secret. There's nothing secret. There's nothing secret that shall not be made manifest. Nothing hid that shall not come known abroad. That scares me every time I read that verse. Every time I quote it. I ain't no super preacher standing up here tonight. It scared me to death when I read that verse. If it were not for the grace of God and the blood of Jesus cleansed me from my sin, brother, I wouldn't even move my lips to read that verse. That's what it says. And I want to say to you tonight in closing, there's a cure for secret sin. There's a cure for secret sin. You may be here tonight. You say, "Brother Danny, I know I've got it. I know I've got it. I've got a cancer. There's something eating away on the inside of me. It ain't right. I know it's a sin. I need cure." Well, you'll have to have operation. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp. And the Lord's going to have to lay you out on the operating table, cut this thing out, and it's going to destroy you. I believe. I have no personal feelings. I have no any one person in mind when I say this. But I believe there's somebody in this church that sin's got into your heart. Something's in there that ain't right. If you don't get God to take it out, it's going to get on you so heavy and it'll eventually destroy you. You'll be out of church, ruin your testimony, and ruin everything God's ever done for you. And it'll eventually destroy you if you don't let God operate on you tonight. Somebody's got it. Somebody's got it. Maybe many. You say, "Oh, it's just this little pet sin. I know it's wrong. I know what the Bible says, but it seems so harmless." Yeah, that's the way it is when you first get a little cat. "Oh, that couldn't hurt nothing. that little bitty thing, you've just got cancer, that's all. First thing you know, man don't have cancer. Cancer's got him. Yeah. And it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. I want you to open your Bibles now to the book of Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Everybody in the house, open your Bible to Proverbs 28. Look at verse 13. I'm going to tell you the cure to secret sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now hold it right there just a second, folks. See what that said? You will not prosper. Spiritually speaking, you will not prosper. Oh, you may have a fine car and a fine house. As far as this world is concerned, you may be prospering. You won't be getting nowhere where it really counts. You won't be getting nowhere with God. If you are covering up your sin, you know what covering it means? Hiding it. So like right here's the sin. I'm hiding it. You won't prosper. But the last part of the verse says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now the Bible said the word of God is sharp and it cuts. Hebrews 4:12, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's going to have to take his sword and perform an operation on you. The first thing I want you to do, I'm going to give you these three things, then I'm going to give you an invitation. The first thing you've got to do if you want rid of your secret sin is realize that it's a sin. Anybody got that? You've got to realize that it is a sin. Now, like I said at the beginning of this message, I'm not trying to put you under conviction for something you're not guilty of. But brother, if you are deliberately keeping a sin in your heart, you have got to see it like God sees it. You've got to see it through His eyes. Know that He hates it. It doesn't matter if you feel like it's wrong or not. If God hates it, you've got to see it through God's eyes. Your conscience is only a safe God as long, a guide as long as it goes with what God says. Some people say, let your conscience be your guide. That's a bunch of baloney. Your conscience can get so hard that you can be committing murder and never feeling guilty about it. You better let your Bible be your guide. First thing you've got to do is realize it is a sin. Second thing you've got to do is confess it. Just confess it. That'd be the biggest part of somebody getting over their problem tonight if they'd just say, it's wrong. I did it. I'm sorry. It's wrong. Just confess it. And then thirdly, forsake it. By the help of the Lord, turn your back on it and walk away. You say, I just can't. I love it. Yeah, but if you don't do something about it, it'll destroy you. You've got to realize that God hates it. You've got to confess it and say it's wrong. I care not how bad I like it, how bad I love it. It's wrong. You got to turn your back on it. Walk away. You say, I can't do it. You'll die in your sin. That's what will happen to you. Your sin will be your ruin. And it won't be long, baby, till we'll be rolling you down here in the front of this church. Have your sin. I want you to know, brother, you mess around with God, friend. You mess around with God's Word, you could be getting yourself in a big, big trouble having secret sin. Now, if you wasn't saved, brothers, sometimes unsaved people can get by with stuff and God has mercy on them, but if you're saved and know better and you deliberately keep sin in your heart, God will deal with you. You gonna let your kids run around the house and break the picture windows and kick the windows out and just say, well, it didn't mean to. It's all right. It just loves to break picture windows. God ain't going to look at you and say, well, it's my child. It just loves to do that, just have such a good time. No, God will punish you just like you would your kid. I tell you how to forsake it. Don't go back where you caught it. Like you caught a disease, Like, you know, if I caught disease over there in that room, say I caught malaria over here in this room one day, and if I ever got rid of it, I ain't going back in that room. I mean, you can't pay me to go in there. That's what you're going to have to do with your sin. You're going to have to look back and search back and say, where did I catch this thing at? Was it down at the honky-tonk? If you caught that disease of drinking down there at the honky-tonk, don't go back to the honky-tonk. If you've got a bad habit, a secret sin, if you go watch dirty movies, don't look at me surprised. Hey, church members does that. I mean, it can happen. X-rated. Slip off and nobody don't know about it. You know what your problem is? You know what the cure be? Don't go back where you talk that sin. Oh, well, I'm going to do a study on the signs of the times. Don't give me that junk. I went through all that not long after I got saved. The devil got me in more mess, trouble than I've ever been able to get out of yet. Don't go where you caught your sin. I want you to know, in these days, that about could mean the grocery store. I mean, you know, there's some places a man's got to go, but they ain't no use just deliberately putting yourself in a place of temptation. Not deliberately. I know you got to go to work. I know you got to see sin everywhere you go and everywhere you look. There's no use just jumping into a big pile of it on purpose. Forsake it! Or don't look or inquire or wonder. Here's a woman that ran off and committed adultery. And here's this man. There's a woman talking to me just not long ago, and she said, I've got such a problem. I ran off with this guy in the church, and me and him lived together for a few months. And she said, now every time I see him on the road, this happened, or that happened, and I'm wondering. I said, you better quit that wondering, baby. You better just get him out of your mind, girl. You better just get him out of your mind. Put it out. Put it out. Say, God, it's a sin. It'll destroy me. It'll wipe me out if I don't get rid of it. Get it out and don't let yourself think about it. You say, well, I just can't. Oh, yes, you can. Don't let yourself think about it. I want to tell you something as I'll close. You've got to find it out or it'll find you out. The Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. If you don't find it out, it'll find you out. I want to ask you to search your heart tonight. This message may have unnerved somebody. It may have really, I believe it's half of you just sitting on the edge of your seat right now wondering what I'm going to say next. My message to you tonight is secret sin will destroy you unless you get it operated on and get something done about it. If there's something wrong, get it right. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to give an invitation. Since it is a secret sin, you don't have to tell me about it. I believe if you sin against the man, you ought to tell the man. Sin against your brother, you ought to tell your brother. But if it's just you and God, you just tell God. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell nobody else. Just between you and the Lord. Right there at your seat, you may just want to say, Lord, I know that I've got a secret sin in my heart. God, I know if I don't do something about it, it's going to mess me up. Somebody's going to get hurt. I'm going to ruin my testimony. I'll wind up getting out of church. Lord, I confess it. By your grace, I'll forsake it. Tonight, I'm turning away from it. And I'm walking away. You might say, preacher, I just am not strong enough to do that. Let me tell you something, friend. If you want to do right, God will help you and give you the strength. God will give you the strength tonight if you want to do right. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now. You'll lead us, guide us, and direct us. I pray for that one that may be here tonight, or those many who may be harboring secret sin in their heart. Lord, if you help them to get it out before it destroys them and many others. Lord, take the knife, sharp sword of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, to form an operation on this church right now. Get secret sin out. Lord, I know outwardly we all look good, and outwardly everything's fine, but God, I pray you'd get in the inward parts, get the secret sin out. Thy people may rejoice in thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.